It's gonna be a good year. Now, quote unquote, the seniors, huh? Father, we thank you right now. We bless you for this moment. This moment belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 16. Because we're back again together, you kind of know my mode, how I flow, how I go. I'm going straight for the jugular. I'm trying to make you bleed out everything you think you know already. It's the stuff that you think you know already that keeps you where you are already. It's the things that you think you have mastered already and that you know and you already got down that keeps you from making the progress the way God intends. Whether you know it or not, faith is ever increasing. It never stops. You never get there. You never know it all. You know, we're going to use this book as a great guideline, but the book is not the end of what God is trying to say. Even the Bible doesn't end what God is trying to say. He's always saying something new, always saying something fresh. A lot of times these books give us guidelines, so we will go by the book, but it'll give us a guideline to what we're really trying to get to. So we're always learning. Whenever we stop learning, that's the time you're about to die. Whenever you stop picking up, when you think that you figured out, whatever that is in your life can no longer produce fruit because you think you know it already. All right? So we talk about church. Everybody say church. Now the title of this book and this class is Church Unusual. And it shouldn't have to be called Church Unusual, because church should be unusual on its own already. But the reason that somebody has to write a book like this and call it Church Unusual is because the church has become usual over time. All right? We wouldn't even need to even say that. I mean, the phrase Church Unusual really doesn't go together. Now, it makes sense to you now because we've been in church for a long time, haven't we? And things go as usual. You know, we know the jargon. We know the conversation. We know the dress. Right? Right? We know blessed and highly favored. We know the worship and lift. Like, we know all the things that go into our concept of church. I'm going to kill all that. We're going to kill all that. All right? Because we cannot be who we're supposed to be if we don't know who we are. Truth be told, church is not an organization. It's an organism, and you are it. Say, I am church. Come on, say it again. Say, I am church. Now, I ain't say the church. Say, I am church. The church is not a building. Thank God for the building. Thank God for all the beautiful buildings, all the beautiful churches, the church buildings all over the world. We call that the church house, and we call all these different things. But that's just a place for us to congregate. When you step foot out of this room and when you get in your car, the church is right there with you because you are church. It's an organism. It's a live, living being. You're a church in the flesh. All right? So I'm going to deal with all the normal churchy things, you know, your spiritual things, like you being spiritual, although you are a spirit, how are you spiritual if you are a spirit? Like, what day did you stop being a spirit so you got to get spiritual? Are y'all listening to me? I'm going to deal with all your, you know, all the colloquials and all the phrases. You know, church, we even have our own conversation. We got our own way of saying things. We got our own language. I said this in church one time, and I was in service one time, and said, you know, we talk about the blood of Jesus all the time. The blood of Jesus, be covered with the blood, dip it in the blood of Jesus, plead the blood of Jesus in the morning. Well, that's weird for somebody that ain't been churched. Talking about dipping something in some blood, putting the blood all over you. You washed in the blood. That don't even make no sense, do it? Right? But our phrasing sometimes, how long you been in church? How long y'all been? Come on. Anybody came last year? I'm not talking about Word Life, just Christian. Anybody last year? Year before last? Anybody less than 5 years? 10? 15? 20? Right, and that's only because you're younger than 20. Right? All right, so we've experienced a lot of different church. And I grew up, I don't know nothing else. First thing I remember is service. I remember being an usher in a children's church, a little children's church usher. I remember waiting for communion Sunday. Couldn't wait because I was going to go in the children's church. I'm going in the kitchen and we about to take that juice back. We were signing up to be ushers just for communion Sunday. So we can go get the juice and the crackers after service in the kitchen at the old church. I remember all that. I know nothing else but, and I'm going to use these quotes, church. So I know the talk, and I know the conversation, I know the moves, I know the look, I know I've been preaching doggone near 20 years now. I started preaching when I was 18, so now I know the moves, man. I done met all your favorite preachers, like I done met them. I done been to their churches. I done talked to all the you want to call them generals. I've done. What you call good church, I've done church. I've seen it all. Not all of it, but I've seen a lot of it. Seen all the movies, so I know how it goes. But yet, here we are in 2018, and the power ain't like it should be. Can we explain this? Can we explain why we constantly say we have a better covenant, or we have a better life, or Jesus paid the price, but yet here we are still being judgmental and condemning people? Here we are still not to the place where churches now, and even Jesus, they become, I forgot what you call it, like keyword, like this, it's trigger word, they trigger people off, turn people off sometimes. Could you say church? Because the church has not been being. It's been trying to function, but not being. Are you understanding me? So this semester, you're gonna leave a couple classes and be like, nah, he wrong. Then it'll hit you when you sit down for a little while. You're gonna leave a couple classes and be uncomfortable about what you think you know. Because I want to flip it all the way upside down. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it. That's a whole nother ball game. See what I'm saying? So it's not that everything is wrong or everything is bad, but some things are in the wrong position. Some things that you think is church is actually a manifestation of church, and it's really not the real being of it. Are you understand what I'm saying? And so we got to get back to the root of being the living, alive church. We shouldn't need Church Unusual of that title. We shouldn't need this, but because we are where we are, we need to change our concepts about it all. So get the concept about a building out your head real quick. Close your eyes, get it out your head. Come on, shake your head, do something. Get it out your head. The concept about the church being a building, that's not it. Even the Bible talks about your body's a temple. Right? You ever heard that before? Yeah, so we know this can't be the temple because you're the temple. Matter of fact, this building and any building that exists will not have life or not be functional or not continue to thrive unless we are alive in that building. Leave a house for a little while and see what happens. You ever went on a long trip? Huh? You ever been on like a trip and you're long and then the stuff start, like things ain't going right at home like they're supposed to because nobody's there to take care of things and get dusty. Right? Or sometimes some critters get in. Huh? Because the life is you. Say, I am life. Come on, say it again. Say, I am life. Come on, say it again. I am life. The system has fooled us. Yes. Yes. This tricked us up and made us think that that's life. No. Everything that you have, everything you live in, that car that you came in here does not exist without you. It can't function. It can't move. You are the purpose and the reason. Even when we come here on Sundays and on Tuesdays or whatever, we're here tonight on class, even when we come here, this room is obsolete and has no purpose until you get here. Do you understand that? You realize until you get here, this room has no purpose. Until you get here, this building, no matter how beautiful it is, no matter how much we clean it up, no matter what the speakers look like and what the lights, and none of it matters until you are here. Ain't no service without you. Are you understanding? So the life comes in the being. So now say it again. Say, I am church.
I am church.
Come on, say it again. Say, I am church.
I am church.
Watch it. Say, church is not an organization. Come on, say it. Church is an organism. And that organism is me. You're an organ of the church. Not an organ you play on. Talking about an organ, like your bodily organs. We'll go in Ephesians 4 and it starts talking about it, but every joint supplies. Now, that's going to be one of our hot chapters, Ephesians 4 and this Matthew 16 going to be our main chapters that we're going to be hitting in back and forth. Because it gives us clarity on what's going on and what we're supposed to be doing. You're an organ. Now, don't try to pick which organ. I want to be the heart. Well, you can't pick what you want to be. You just got to be who you are. Are y'all understanding me? That's the problem in the church. Now, everybody won't be on the stage. The stage ain't all that all the time. The stage is, everybody won't be on stage. But See, like right now, you can be on stage and be ministered and say that's what you want, and you'll be drained after. Everybody in the room pulling on you. Some kind of stamina you got to have. It ain't a good talk anymore. Your good huh-huh, your hum, whatever, ain't going to work. Going to pull you, be drained after, unless you know what's going on. Unless you've been conditioned for that. Let me teach you something in school. Everybody come to school, want to be preachers. Right? Everybody want to be a reverend. Everybody want a mic. Yeah, kill that. Kill that. You can't do it without the mic. Why you need one? Kill that today. Kill that today. See, the Lord made me talk. He made me say something to him the other day. And it was about my wants. And he told me that your wants limit what I want. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. He said, your wants are limiting what I want. So can you kill your wants and get on my will? Come on, we got things that we want. What you want is limited. Whatever it is that you want right now is limited to God. I give you scriptures. Ephesians 3:20 said, exceeding abundantly above all you ask or what? So if you could think it, you're limiting him. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. What is he saying? But as high as the heavens above the earth, that's how my thoughts are compared to what you think about yourself. So I told him, I said, I know what to do. I started praying, our Father's prayer, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. I pray, I told him, I said, I don't want nothing anything that's going to keep me from being everything you called me to be when you sent me here on this earth, I don't want it. So he made me, I didn't ask to teach this class. My goal wasn't to be an instructor. If you know anything about me, I'll go sit down in the corner. You ain't gonna never see me. When I come on, Lord, let me be a reverend. I didn't ask for that. Let me go preach. I didn't ask for that. And so he'll look for the ones that ain't asking for that thing all the time. Y'all know that, right? And don't try to fake not ask now. Like, well, I don't really want it, Jesus. But you know, he know your heart. Right? But he's going to look for those that just want the will. Are y'all understanding me? I'm a rattle your church. You think the church is about the preachers? You think the church is about the reverends? I'm going to rattle you. Ooh, you're going to want to tell on me. By the time we finish, because we got to shake it loose. So I want to prelude you, tell you ahead of time, before we step any further in this book, or we read any chapters, or we say anything else, I am going to shake you up about church. You start conditioning yourself on a daily basis to forget everything you've learned about church. Everything that you think church means. Like right now, even when I say church, your mind still think building. Huh? Ain't that the truth? You still think Sunday morning, right? And understand, still think Bible study, right? Because that's what we've been doing. We've been doing it for years. I'm 36. I've been doing it for all. That's just what I do. I know. I go to Bible study and I go to Sunday service. Take a vacation, but I come back to church on Sunday to go back on Bible study. Like, this is what we do. I understand. So here's another question. What was the original intention of the church? Where did the church start? You said Acts. I beg to differ. Hey, the book is starting. Okay. We're going to see where it started. Who started the church? What was their intention when they started it? What does the word actually mean? We say the ecclesiastic church. Ecclesia, that's the Greek. The Greek word for church is ecclesia. But we don't even know what ecclesia means. It really comes from ex-ecclesia, which means ex means to be called out from something. And ecclesia means by name. That means you're really called out by name. It's not an organization. Church, the word church means to be called out by your name. Called out by your name for a name. That's really what it means. So now you've been called out from a system by your name, by your original name, by your original who you are, by God on the inside of you. I've called you out by your name to carry that name. So we got the phrases, holy and heathen. Where you got that from? Saints and sinners. Where you get that from? Them and us. Where you get that from? Is there really a them and us? Or is that an understanding problem? Or is this just an identity crisis? Or is this just that you don't really know who you really are? The biggest trick started from the beginning, separation. Tree, we talk about that in our other class. The tree. You got tree of life, singular, one motion, one direction. It's life. Just boom, life. Then you have this other tree, which is a tree of knowledge of good and evil. All of a sudden now you have separate thinking. Now you got to figure it out. Now you, and double-minded, James talking about double-minded man is unstable in how many his ways? Yeah, so if you keep thinking about good and evil, you're going to be unstable in all your ways if you have not lined it up with life. So now the separation has breeded down through, Jesus had an intention, we'll read in a second, but man had another intention. The trick about the garden and really what really happened when they ate from this tree, and you have to understand the symbolism of it, is that man decided that he wanted to think his thoughts on his own. He wanted to decide what was what. That's really what partaking from that tree is. You'll be just like God. Well, you already were like God. Right now, you already are like God. But the moment that you begin to try to figure it out on your own and make up your own thoughts about something is the time that the curse comes in. You become unstable. And so now it filters down. So then all that happens, Old Testament, and then it's Jesus. Boom. And he starts to show us what it looked like in the flesh. He starts to let us know it's not in the temple, it's in you. He starts to let us know it's not low here, low there. No, the kingdom of God is where? Inside of you. He starts to let us know these things, that I'm in you and you in me, and the Father in me and I'm in you, so we all in it together. You abide in me and my words abide in you. He starts to place it on the inside of the live organization. Not even place it, but show you what place it's in. Start to make it clear to you. Law, here's Jesus with freedom. Not to do away with the law, but to show you what the law looked like in the flesh, because the law could not do it. We were failing royally at the law. I don't care how many commandments was, we was losing. We losing 9 of the commandments. Couldn't do it. So law. But it was just trying to hold you in place. Nothing wrong with trying to keep you alive until you get it. People say, no religion. I beg to differ. The word religion comes from the word religare, means to bind. Now you say, well, I don't want to be bind. Well, I'm glad my mama held my hand when that car was coming. I'm glad she bound me up when I ain't know no better for myself, because maybe I wouldn't live long enough to understand freedom. Away with it. You know how crazy it'll be if we took all the lines off the roads? Come on, do away with the law. Just do away with the law. No, not Bible law, just law. You ready? Come on. It's all grace, no law. Come on. Let's do away with the law. Let's do away with it right now. Come on, we free indeed. Let's do away with the law. Come on. Take all the lines off, all the red lights, all the stop signs. Send all the police on. Turn all your uniforms in. Put everything up. Put all the military. Stand down. Right? No signs that say merge, yield. None of those. Just come on. We free indeed. Y'all know what's gonna happen, right? Hold on. You do know what's going to happen, right? You do know that everybody don't know how to follow the law. Have you ever been to a red light and it turned green, it's time for you to go and somebody go, whoa. Right? Well, now there's a point where life has to supersede law. It's not that you're not following the law, but life has to supersede it because now you're paying attention. You get it? But I would not have known that until I took this class, this driver's ed class. And then it went past the test with some instructors before I can get licensed to drive. And even when I'm licensed to drive, that does not guarantee my safety. Nobody's license has ever protected them from a fool on the road. The license is the permit, but you still got to live your life. Are y'all understanding me? So law, 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 law. Jesus, come to fulfill the law, show what the law looked like so that it'll really work in our members as us. Okay? He even says what the church is for. And then after Jesus, man once again decides to do what they think is the right thing to do. And we mean right. Y'all know that, right? We mean right. We'll create a solution that's actually another problem. We do that all the time. We made a medicine for this, but it's killing this in your body. Right? They call them side effects. Oh, it's supposed to fix this, but then it's tearing this up. But it's just fixing that, though. Oh, y'all understand? You got to take another pill for that thing messed up. And so we began to congregate and organize, and I'm not saying anything is wrong with that, but the organization or the organizing cannot be the foundation. You get it? I mean, even our some things that are ritual, some things that we do on a regular, even you know, Sundays and Bible study, we make it a consistent thing, and sometimes it's a consistent thing that keeps us consistent in some area of life. But even those cannot be the foundation that's teaching you another consistency. Are y'all understanding me? We're gonna shake it up, man. We're gonna talk about communion. What communion really about? Yeah, we're gonna talk about all that. We're gonna talk about what he really meant when he started talking about the church. Jesus only said the word twice. The word church is mentioned in the New Testament 79 times, but Jesus only said the word twice. He only said it twice. And when he did say the words, the two times that he said it, when he did say them, he was very specific about what he meant. It was very clear. You know, when we get after Jesus, it's 77 more times. And church. And sometimes it's used good, sometimes it's not used in the way that Jesus wanted to use, and sometimes it's just we gotta line it back up. Church, and we just started coming up with our ideas about what it looked like. Having a form of godliness. But denying the power. Where's the power, guys? Hello, where's the power? Where's all these movies been prophesying all these years? Come on, y'all know, I've been there. Yeah. I was hearing prophecies when I was 4 or 5 years old. The prophecy said there's going to be a great wave coming. Anybody? You got a great flow of the Spirit. There's a great new move coming. So now here we are looking at the sky, waiting for the next move, waiting for the next wave, waiting for the next feeling when you the wave. Ain't that great? To have you looking somewhere else other than you. That's great, huh? That's a great way to get you to forget who you are. That's a great way for you to not know your power. Right? Somebody busts in, you need to go ahead and protect yourself. You got a gun on your side, but you running over to the counter. Have you ever had your phone in your hand, but you didn't know where it was? Or your keys, you're looking for your keys, but they're in your pocket? Yeah, we live most of our lives like that, is concerning our identity. Lay hands on me so I can be, lay hands on yourself. Matter of fact, when I lay hands on you, I'm only bringing out of you what's already in you. You just believe in me more than you believe in yourself. And that's okay. I understand. But your faith gonna make you whole. And so we have to, everybody say shift. We just have to shift. I don't even want to say shift anymore. Well, yeah, shift. Because do y'all remember the story about when Jesus asked Peter to use his ship when he first met Peter? Y'all familiar with that? First met Peter, asked him to use his ship. Let me use your ship. Let me use it. So he wanted to push out from the dock because there were so many people that where he was, he couldn't really. So he wanted to push out, stand on the ship, and he's going to preach from the ship to the people. Let me use your ship. Don't know you from nobody else. Let me use your ship. But Peter obliged, let him use his ship. And he finished doing, Jesus said, now launch out into the deep for a drought. We don't use that word right now, but he said, go launch out so you can catch some fish. And Peter's already fishing. Peter said, Master, we've toiled all night and taken nothing. Anybody work all night before? We taught all night. It ain't took nothing. Watch this. He said, nevertheless, at thy word, we let down the net. Long story short, you know, he let down the net and closed a great multitude of fish. Boat began to sink, had to call his partners, which is another thing about church that we have to understand too. Had to call his partners, they both came over, filled up too, and that boat began to sink too. They had an overabundance of what they needed at the word of Jesus. But let me tell you something. If we will change our minds and our concepts about what we believe and what is the truth, then the power is already there in us, and it doesn't take a long time to get there. There's just a change of perception and a change of understanding. It's the same water, it's the same boat, and it's the same people, but a different word. And then one version of the gospel said he threw it on the other side of the ship. He told him, throw it on that side. You fish on this side, throw it on that side. Same water, same Peter, different instruction. Could it be that the lack of power, and we don't have to even discuss whether there's power or not. We know what's going on, right? But could it be that the lack of what we think, what we should be seeing, or the change that should be made through us, could be that it's the same people and the same water, but a different word? God bless Apostle Paul. I appreciate Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul said a lot of great things that changed, and he spread the gospel and Christianity more than any other person. I learned this at Western Seal when I was at LSU, that he spread it more than anybody. Like I'm talking about the reason that it's over here in America is because of some of the things that he did way back. Even Apostle Paul was the one that translated it into Greek. So that, because Greek was a more widespread language for people to understand, the New Testament is in Greek. And God bless him, but he's not the founder of the church. Some people say that Paul's the founder. No, he's not. No, he's not. Not the founder of the church. So I'm not going to take my original plan from what Paul said. So I'm going to make you nervous. Apostle? Yes, Apostle Paul. Because here, right here is chapter 16, verse, let me deal with something else for we get 16. Separation, everybody say separation. Why we got so many denominations? You ever sat there and thought about it? You got Episcopalian and Catholic and Methodist and Foursquare and Kojic and Full Gospel and Word of Faith and then non-denomination, which becomes another denomination. Right? And then we got, come on, y'all know it, Presbyterian and we got all these different Lutheran and we got, what is this? What is all these? And then we don't want to get together. Then they got the black church and the white church. They got the black Catholics and the white Catholics. You got the black Baptists and the white Baptists. There's a whole other section. What's going on? Could it be that we've been fooled? Could it be that we've been tricked? That don't mean you got to like Hillsong more than you like Fred Hammond. That don't mean you might have music you like. So what? That ain't got nothing to do with it. You might like to clap like a certain way in church. That's okay. That's okay. But when it comes down to connection and being together and being one, do we see separation or do we see together? Well, I understand. Well, see, they got all the different churches. Well, no, we don't need to bring all the church together because there's not a building that's built that can hold everybody that calls themselves a Christian in the world. But a lot of these places don't need to be. A lot of these people call themselves. Because, you know, we can do that now. And the Lord told me. Everybody can say, the Lord told me. Yeah, the Lord told me. Well, the Holy Spirit talked to me. Well, the Lord led me this way. Everybody can say that. And thus we have a bunch of watered down situations. The trick has been separation. Now, the first separation is you, though. Oh, no. The first separation is you. See, I went and visited a homeless shelter a couple of days ago and a food bank, and I was just going to visit over there to just look around. I wanted to volunteer for some things. Just me personally. I wasn't trying to make no big deal about it. And I realized that the problem that was in front of me wasn't the problem that made the problem. Mankind has an eternal and a massive heart issue. Absolutely. Even some of the nicest of us. Got heart issues. And so now the heart issues causes these issues that manifests. A lot of sicknesses that people deal with physically are a product of something else going wrong on the inside. You know, excuse my crudeness, but when you vomit, the vomit, you know, of course you want to flush it and get away with it, but that's not the problem. There's something going on inside that causes this outward manifestation. Are y'all understanding me? And so there's a heart issue. So the first separation, a lot of the problems will be solved if we all individually, one by one, would go home and put ourselves together. Here, right here, we all took on the character of Christ. Right here, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13, it said, when Jesus came from the Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. He said to them, but whom say you, ye, that I am? Simon Peter, there you go. Answered and said, thou art the, are y'all reading it? Thou art the, I can't hear y'all. Thou art the Son of the living God. So now he just put Son of Man and Son of God together. I don't know if y'all understand what's going on. Jesus asked, who do they say I, the Son of Man, am? He said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. He just made himself equal with God. Are y'all listening? Y'all see? Y'all put that together? You got to pay attention to how things are written. And Jesus answered and said to them, blessed art thou, Simon for Jonah. Simon for Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father. Now he's owning them. But my Father which is in heaven. Y'all get it? Are y'all looking at it? And I say unto thee, and I, you know, I've said this before, that thou art Peter. In other words, he's saying you too, Peter. Like you too, you Christ too. Right? He wasn't saying just his name. Hey, and thou art, he just called him Simon Bar-Jonah in another verse, right? So he knew his name already. So he's saying, and thou art, you know, Peter means a rock, the name Peter. So, and thou art, you too, rock. All right. So watch this. If Peter means the name rock, then he says, and thou art rock, and upon this rock I will build my church. What? What does the name Peter mean? You go look it up and say, well, I'm taking your word for it. Well, take my word for it. I'm telling you what it means. Peter means rock. So if Peter means rock, then thou art rock and upon this rock. So you a rock, so I'm going to build on you, rock. I just got down today. Well, just now. Not today, just now. With us, just now. Come on, look at it. Thou art rock, and upon this rock, I'm going to build my what? Oh, shoot. And the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Immediately, it causes mobility because gates don't move. Y'all know that, right? The gates don't move, which means you're going into the gates. Gates are also used for something else, and it's keeping things in or keeping things locked up. Jail bars are like gates. So in other words, you're going in somewhere else to free some other people, but the gates of hell should not prevail. So it shows movement because it can't be a building. Church can't be a building now because the buildings don't move. Right? And it can't be an organization, although you need to be organized at times, but it can't be just an organization. It's got to be the living organism. Say, I am church. I am. Come on, say it again. Say, I am church. I am. One more time, say, I am church. I am. Stop going to church. I'm preaching a message called Stop Going to Church. They're going to try to hang me for it, but I'm going to get some clicks or something. I don't know. Clickbait on YouTube, right? Stop going to church. Oh, what are you talking about? Ain't that an apostle, son? He said, stop going to church. You'll get a whole message. Going to change everything. Stop going to church. If you stop going, you can be. I'll be here on, if you, whatever church you go to be, on time, whatever. You get what I'm saying? But stop going and start being. What if you came to church as a church? Like, what if you came to the building as an organism already? What if, how much clearer would things be? How many more people would be helped if we came already as? And we didn't have to go get us some good church. Oh, we had some good church today. Well, what are you? I'm going to start asking people like that. See, the conversation. See, when you change the language, it starts getting weird. But I'm going to church. What is that? Are you understanding me? And the gates of hell, so I like that. I like that. And I say unto thee that thou art a rock. You are a rock. You are a rock. Y'all listen to me? You are a rock. You don't know you rock. So you're trying to build on something else. Come on, y'all got to give me some more than that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah. We've been trying to build on something else. Yeah. You rock. Say, I am rock.
I am rock.
Come on, say, I am rock.
I am rock.
Say, you rock. Thou art rock. You rock. Yeah, because you, when you get the revelation, you the rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were missing the thou art rock. You rock. And upon this rock. So we thought, I don't know why we read that way and just was so asinine about how we thought about it, because we immediately jumped back to the revelation of who Jesus is, right? And left it over there. So that still was over there. That still was somewhere else other than you. You realize that when the Father reveals to you Christ, he's revealing to you, you, it's not happening nowhere else. It's not going to happen at class. It's not going to happen in service. It's not going to happen. No, it's going to happen right there in you. The revelation is going to be revealed in you. All right, well, how people come to church, service, and hear a good word, and then 20 minutes later, you're back to the same state of mind. Hey, can I get an amen? Yeah, that's church too right there. And can I get an amen, right? Right? You, come on. Last Sunday. Come on, second year. Almost graduates. Made it through the first year. You, last Sunday, good word in the car. You're in the car, what, 15 minutes later? If you stayed around and talk for a little while? Sometimes stay around and talk for a little while be the thing. Because the other people are supposed to be church dragging you out of church. Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. You got to understand me. 10 minutes later. 7 minutes. And before you know it, good word, though. You cried. You cry when the word hits you. I'm gonna challenge you. Ooh. You cry, you got in the spirit, we lifted our hands, and we laid on the floor. Got the hands laid on you that Sunday. You cried. You never heard nothing like this before. Did not our hearts burn? I don't need your heart to burn, I need it to change. I need your heart to realize who it is. The fire of burning only lasts for so long. The only other eternal fire is hell. I need you to be on fire for God. I need you to realize you're one with him. You're on the same mission. You got the same goals. Everything else told us something different. We're in the same place. So, but it explains why we can get a revelation and you can get a revelation. And the only reason you can get a revelation and lose it is because you don't know you are the revelation. See, the revealing, y'all understand what I'm saying right now? The revealing is you. The revealing is not a scripture that you preach, it's you. Even if you preach a scripture and it comes to revelation, it's revealing you. That's been the point. The reason we've lacked the power because we separated the word from the flesh. So the letter itself killing. That's scripture, ain't it? Jesus says, search the scripture, in them you think you have eternal life. And there they will testify me, but you won't come all the way. So that means you can get the scriptures, but you're not being there. So you can get what you think is a revelation and never be revealed. See, a revelation is not come to you for you to have something or for you to do something. It's for you to be something. You cannot have a revelation outside of you. The revealing is always you. You're always the revelation. So now you are rock. Flesh and blood is not revealed it unto thee. But my Father, which means my Father, start talking to you. What are you trying to say? Our Father. Our Father prayer. You get what he's trying to say? When you pray our Father who art in heaven, you bring yourself in the oneship and sonship. Sonship and oneship, that's a good one too. And thou art rock, and I'll say unto thee, look, verse 18, say, I say what? Now see verse 18, what's that fourth word? And I say, what does also mean? Come on, what does also mean? In addition to, and you too, right? So I'll say this in addition, you too. Are y'all seeing it? So I'll say it also, watch this. And then what's the last line? What's the last two words in that phrase? Unto you. So I'm gonna say this also to you. So flesh and blood not revealed. This is not, and so I'm gonna say this also to you. I'm gonna say thou the Christ. So I'm gonna say it also to you. Thou art a rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus went off. Started showing all the keys to him. I'm going to give you the keys. Because you understand who you are. You say, well, he told Jesus he was the Christ. Well, yeah, when you find out he the Christ, you find out you are. People think, I know the Lord. You don't know him because you don't know yourself. If you really knew the Lord, you'd be different. I'm not talking about morally. Holiness and moral, change it. I got to leave with this one. We think holiness and morality is the same thing. Morality is a set of do's and don'ts. Holiness is a being. So we've been trying to be moral to prove that we're holy. When in actuality, you have to understand first that you are holy to be. How can I send you to the store to buy me a watch for $1,000 if I've not given you $1,000 to pay for it? I can't ask you to be something that I have already enabled you to. Amen. Y'all next week.